Thank you for listening to the second through fifth grade training. This is a training that is for all people who are serving either as a assistant or a leader. Just keep in mind, if you are a leader, you are going through all of these different activities and leading the charge. And if you are an assistant, you are just as involved with the kids, just as playful with the kids, maybe even given some responsibilities, but ultimately you are assisting the leader to make sure that everything that the kids should be doing are they're doing together in a way that can move the class forward through these different activities. So as you might remember, all of these lessons are planned and prepped in advance for you so that when you arrive on a Sunday, they are ready to go. So all you need to do as a volunteer is to come online, check out the lesson, pray through it, pray for your class, familiarize yourself with what is going on for the day, whether it be a craft or whatever. And so when you come on a Sunday, you know you are ready to go, you are ready to present, you are ready to assist and help move things forward with the kids. Also, just as a reminder, if you struggle or are afraid of like classroom management piece of kids ministry, the absolute best place to start is here at your lesson plan to know what to expect. Because if you know what to expect, then when you're coming in on a Sunday, you're not confused or uncertain, you know exactly what's going on. Also, if you had any questions, you could ask them in advance, reach out to me, and I will be happy to assist you during the week. Because again, me, this is Anna, by the way, as the kids ministry director, the curriculum and content of kids ministry is the area that I serve and what I do. And so if you have any questions, I'm the one who would be able to answer those best for you. So let's go through our curriculum. What actually happens in the second and third and fourth and fifth grade classes on a Sunday? If you click on the PDF next to this audio training, you will find a second and third grade lesson plan for February 2nd, 2025. This is how we are presenting our lessons right now. It does not change week by week unless otherwise stated. So you'll always kind of know what to expect. The first page is your title page. You'll see at the top, it says on this one, second and third grade, but it's exactly the same as the fourth and fifth grade. It'll say the date. It'll say what grade you're teaching. And it'll tell you what the lesson is, the passages where this story is found, the memory verse that we're currently on, and something called the big picture question. And this is sort of like the theme that we're covering in this unit. So, for instance, in this particular unit, the main thing we're talking about that we're going to be driving in is that Jesus is the perfect priest. And how is Jesus the perfect priest? Jesus gave his life as the perfect sacrifice for sin. So even though it may not be explicitly talked about on a Sunday, the lessons are all going to gear towards that theme. And then the next thing is the image for that lesson, followed by your schedule. So you'll have two columns. You'll see there's a first service and a second service. And these are the different activities that we will be going over and you will be going through with your kids every week. Again, it doesn't really change that much from week to week, if ever. So this is going to be the same schedule that you would be sticking through. So let's begin. What happens? So if you go to day two, you'll see the first thing is check-ins and free time. It starts 15 minutes before service starts. You might remember from your volunteer expectations to be in your class 15 minutes before service starts. Check-ins at the counter in the foyer or the lobby, whatever you call it. It starts 15 minutes before church, which means kids can start checking in, which means you guys need to be present. So you'll be there, and as kids are arriving, you're going to welcome the families, receive the kids as they arrive, remind the parents that their child's safety is our greatest priority. So for their safety, we must see their security label when they come back, meaning when they come back, we cannot release their child unless they show us that guardian label, that guardian receipt or security label, whatever you want to call it, so that we know that we're releasing them to the correct person. And we will check that even if we know them, even if we do life with them, even if they're in our community group, even if they're your sister, you have to check the guardian receipt. We'll talk more about that in the future, but you'll just want to let them know, like, hey, make sure when you come back, you bring your guardian receipt. And then the kids have free time. So in this upper elementary classrooms, which are upstairs, there will be games available for them. There are activity pages. There will even be a craft available that they could do early and start right away if they wanted, which we'll get more into that in a bit. But the main thing is we want the kids to start connecting with each other. And we want the kids to start connecting with you guys as leaders. So you can go up to them and be like, what's your name? I noticed you're wearing a Dodgers hat. Are you a fan? Oh, you are. Okay, great. Have you ever been to a game? And you can start a conversation with them. Ask them questions to help start connecting them. Ultimately, we don't want anybody to be left out. So after 15 minutes and enough time has kind of gone by for most of the kids to get checked in, the very first thing we want to do is a game or a craft. Basically, both will be available for the kids, but they will get to choose. So as leaders and assistants, I will be asking one of you guys to lead the craft and another one to facilitate the game. And so the kids will get to choose which one they want to do. So in this particular lesson, what we're providing is black cardstock that's been folded, some envelopes, some gel pens, and metallic markers. And the kids, if they want to do the craft, they can make cards and letters for family and friends using the pens and markers on the black paper, or they can just doodle. It'll be something, a very open-ended craft that will actually create space for kids to just chill and talk to each other and get to know each other as they're crafting at a table. Or if the kids are like, I do not want to do a craft, I do not like crafts, I haven't liked crafts since kindergarten, which is a thing, then the other option they would have is the game. So one of you guys would be facilitating a game. If you, in your classroom, there's a binder that's called the Quick Start Game Guide. I've also included it in your lesson plans where they're posted up above. You can always click on the Quick Start Game Guide. And in there are a whole bunch of games that are just ideas that you could choose from that require little to no effort. And if you needed any extra supplies, you could just grab them. So those are just some optional like ideas that you could do. You guys get to come up with the game that you want to do. And then we also have lots of fun things like hula hoops and these like scoop boards, and you can do relay races, and you guys can do it in the classroom or you can go outside to the blacktop and do it outside. But just as a reminder, the main point of this time is to build connection. We really value connection over correction. And before we ever teach a kid anything or even correct them if necessary, we want it to come from a place of like connecting with them first. And that requires lots of play and activities to do that. And so again, they can choose if they want to do a craft or a game during this time. And I will reach out to one of you guys during the week to ask if you would lead it. So the next thing that they do after you spend 15 minutes doing this activity, the next thing is you're going to gather your kids and you're going to go to your couch area in the classroom. There are like couches set up, two different areas, one for second grade, one for third grade, and the other large room, it'll be one for fourth grade and one for fifth grade. And what we're going to do is something called, well, we're going to do snack, which is usually Goldfish, and if they're gluten-free, Chex, or if they're dairy-free, they can have Chex. And then, so we do snack, and while we're having our snack, we do something called lollipops and lemons, which is basically our time when we pray for each other. So, how it goes is while the kids are eating, ask your class if anyone has any lollipops, which are good things that happened during the week. So they can say, I went to Disneyland, or I got a good grade on a project, or I get to see my grandma today. And they can share these limits, and then when they, or lollipops, and when they share their lollipops or the good things that happened, immediately thank God in that moment. So you go, oh my gosh, God, thank you so much that they got to go to Disneyland. That's so awesome. Thank you for blessing that day. In your name we pray, amen. And then on the flip side, we can also then say, does anybody have any lemons? And so the kids can say, oh, my dog died, or I got a bad grade on a test, or I'm struggling with a friend, or my parents are fighting. And so immediately what we want to do is ask if someone would like to pray for their friend's lemon. What we're doing here is we are giving kids the opportunity to learn how to pray for somebody spontaneously. And we want to teach them that it is not this long-winded, beautiful prayer that they have to do. It can be really sweet and short and to the point. So say that a kid doesn't raise their hand to pray for their friend because they're shy. You can model a prayer and just keep it really short. So say that a kid got a bad grade on a test. You can be like, Lord, this person didn't do well on their test, and you see that and you know that. Please help them to learn the content so that they could do better next time on their test. In your name we pray, amen. And so it's really short, not fancy. So the kids are learning that they also can pray for people, and really quickly on the spot. If for whatever reason, I really recommend not being like, does anybody have any lollipops and lemons? And so everybody's just sharing all these lemons and or all these lollipops without the other. I would say, first, does anybody have any lollipops? And do some lollipops. And then I would do all the lemons, personally. You don't have to do it that way, but that's what I would do if I was doing it. If nobody's giving any answers, you could just be like, does anybody have any prayer requests? And then just do it like that. Because especially with the older kids, they're like, they might be like, I don't know, and they're like shy or whatever. But if you're like, do you have any prayer requests? There's a higher chance that they'll open up a little bit more if they're feeling a little shy with the other. So that is lollipops and lemons. And again, you're doing that while you're having snack. After that, we do something called Bible skills. And this is only for about 10 minutes. You may not finish it, and that is okay. The main goal during this time is that the kids find the passage in the Bible that they're going to be reading at large group. So what you want to do is help your kids locate the scripture below, or up above, sorry, and mark it with the ribbon bookmark and bring their Bibles to large group. Okay. So that's what we're trying to do. So this is how you want to teach them how to find the scripture in the Bible. You have to remember these kids are just now able to read a little bit more. They're just learning how to find scripture in the Bible. So this is a really new concept for them. So what you want to do is encourage those who are new to class, who are not yet comfortable with finding the scripture in the Bible, to please slowly instruct your kids on how to find the verse. Do not make this a competition. Unless you know for sure that all the kids in your class have mastered this skill. Because it's really hard if a person is really uncomfortable with finding scripture to all of a sudden do a competition to like find scripture, chances are they're going to actually shut down. Our goal isn't that they're fast scripture finders. Our goal is that they feel safe so that they can receive and hear the word of God this Sunday. So here are some training tips. First, remind kids there are two parts of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Each Testament contains multiple books, and each book is divided divided into chapters, and each chapter is then divided into verses. So just reminding them of that. The second thing is at the start of each Bible is a table of contents. Show them how they can look for the table of contents, look in the table of contents to find the page number. And once they find the page number, they can turn to that page, look for that next chapter, and then look for the verse. So over time, they will eventually grow more comfortable and may not need the table of contents anymore. So for instance, we're doing Mark 14. So you're going to be like, there are two parts of the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament. Mark is found in the New Testament. Let's go to the table of contents, find the New Testament books, look for the book of Mark. It's on this page. Let's open up to that page. Okay, we're going to 14, verse 27. And then once everybody's there, they take their bookmark and they mark the page. If you have time, and only if, you guys can read these scriptures together. But if you do not finish reading the scripture, that is okay, because they haven't actually gotten the lesson for the day yet. So please be mindful of the time, because you guys need to head over to the large group room at 9:15 and 11:30 respectively, because that is when your large group time starts and it is very time sensitive. So please head over there, even if you haven't read the scriptures yet. So you are going to line your kids up. After they find the scripture, they're going to take their Bibles. You may not have enough Bibles for all the kids, so they might need to share. We're hoping to order more. And you are going to go to the worship room, which is upstairs on the far side of the building closest to Saratoga. And in there is a large group leader and a worship leader and an audiovisual person. And it's in there that the kids are going to learn the lesson. So, leaders of a class, you are not responsible for teaching the lesson that day. You are responsible for just the small group type activities like finding the scripture, lollipops and lemons, snacks, games, and discussion. But you're not responsible for doing the memory verse, a worship song, or the lesson itself. So that is in the worship room. So when you get to the worship room, have the kids sit down inside of the square that's on the ground. And please remember that how you act and engage is going to lead the kids in how they act and engage. So sit with your kids. Chairs are available if needed, because we know that not everybody's able to sit on the floor comfortably. But still be with the kids. Don't stand on the sidelines. We want you guys to also participate, listen, and engage with the lesson alongside your class. So raise your hand if you have an answer. Sing the song. Do the hand motions. Completely join in as a way to model to the kids that time. Also, you want to be present with your kids, because if they are being disruptive or talking to their neighbor or whatever, you need to lovingly correct your kids if necessary. And again, you can refer to the discipline policy and how we correct kids in a way that is gospel-centered in the policies and procedures that you listened to earlier. Okay, the next thing is, once large group is over, you guys are going to head back to your classroom, to your little couch area, and you're going to do small group, which is the four questions. Specifically, it's the discussion time. So when you're in class, you're going to always do the same four questions. The first is, what did you like about today's story? Second, what did you find confusing about today's story? Third, what did we learn about people? And fourth, what did we learn about Jesus? So these questions are very strategic, because they are questions that anybody can answer, whether it's their first time ever attending church on a Sunday and hearing the name of Jesus, or homeschool is their life and Bible is their curriculum. And so no matter who you are, you can answer these questions. They're not trivia questions, you might realize. They're not review questions. They're more like questions where they have to stop and ponder and think. And they're questions where the Holy Spirit is really the one who is giving them the thoughts and leading that time. So really allow the Holy Spirit to move in this time and lead this time. So the questions again: what do you like about today's story? Anybody can answer that question. Number two, what did you find confusing about the story? What better place to talk about the things that are confusing than at church? Number three, what do we learn about people? Like, how do we relate to this? What do we see the people doing in this? How do they behave? How did they act? How do they respond? Did they trust Jesus? Did they trust God? Do we trust Jesus? Do we trust God? So what do we learn about people? And lastly, and most importantly, what did we learn about Jesus? Every single story in the Bible points to Jesus. Whether you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it's all pointing to when Jesus is going to come, die on the cross for our sins, and rise again so that we can be risen up with him. And so we want to work together to see, like, how does this story point to him? And so that is our discussion time. One other little tip for that is don't ask a question and immediately expect people to start talking. Do what we call the 7-second rule. Count to 7 slowly in your head to allow the kids to process the question and think about their answer before they respond. Okay? So you could ask, what did you like about today's story? And maybe the kids don't answer right away. That's supposed to happen because they're thinking. So just count in your head to 7 very slowly. And then if they don't respond, be like, well, for instance, this is what I liked about today's story. And maybe there'll be discussion that comes from that. So that is our 4 question time. And then finally, it is just about time for the parents to come and pick up their kids. So we have free time until checkout. So once again, they get to do activity pages, pull that craft back out, play foosball or board games or just hang out. So they get to have free time until parents arrive. And then when they're doing checkout, as you know from our policies and procedures and kind of what I spoke about at the beginning, as kids are getting picked up, please check every security label. If they lost their label, please find the coordinator. Their number is on the bottom of your sign-in sheet. You can just text that person. And they will come and verify that the guardian does belong to that child. And again, please check every single guardian receipt or security label, even if you know them personally, because we do not want people to get out of the habit of doing it, which happens very, very, very easily. And then as kids are leaving, please, 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 please send them home with an activity page. Show the parent that there are activities they can do during the week to help disciple their kids at home. These activity pages are our way of, a really simple way of partnering with parents, giving them the opportunity to see what their child learned, and discussing it with the kids at home, their kids at home. So that concludes your training. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions about this, please list them out and send me a text, and I will be happy to answer all of your questions. Thank you so much.